You're listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com.
Hey friends, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have with me the world's foremost entrepreneurial coach. He's moving up the ranks on Amazon as we speak. Dan Sullivan, great to have you with us today.
At this very moment, 5 minutes ago, we were number one on nonfiction Amazon worldwide. So
that is amazing.
Yeah.
I saw right now you're crushing it in self-help category as well. People are excited. Look, they're already saying it just started. They're grabbing their spouses and getting them over here. Dan, I was just on Facebook before we started, and I have to show you, you spoke to our group Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out, my friend. She says, "Be freaking awesome." But she says, "I learned this game-changing concept over the weekend." It's from Dan Sullivan. And then she explained the gap in the game. And she said, "I've already shared it with 12 people." And you see right here, she's a coach. She shared it with 12 people. And they're all pushing to your book now. So there's quite a stir. Have you ever seen a book go this big, this fast?
No. I mean, well, yeah, I mean, I've seen other people. it's funny because the fiction world has it all over the nonfiction world. So I have about, you know, take Lee Child with his, Lee Child with Jack Reacher stories, you know, and you can pre-order. I mean, he pumps one out every September or October.
Gee.
And but when he comes out the first day, he's already got 1.5 million sales, you know. So the fiction world is really the champs here. But for nonfiction, I mean, 15,000 is a bestseller. And we finished the pre period. So the launch was the 19th. And on the evening of the 18th, they close off pre-sales. I mean, as far as measuring them. And we were, you know, we were kind of like at 18,000. So we were already at bestseller status when launch day actually happened. And I checked in with Ben Hardy. And Ben really, really knows the inside out of book sales and, you know, influencing people. And he said that last night we were like at 40,000. You know, using the same measurements that we were on. And he said Audible is just going through the roof.
Yes.
The thing is right now I'm taking part in a three-way collaboration because I'm collaborating with you and you're one of our collaborators that's building, you know, the awareness of me around the world. And we've gone up extraordinarily. I mean, we're up
300%. Yeah.
Since I started working with you. But then Ben is just a great, great major market writer. I could never write a book like this, you know.
So
he wrote the book, but I'm good at what I'm good at.
And you are good at changing the world through thinking. Entrepreneurs.
I've got very simple ways of just people, you've been thinking this way, try thinking this way, and you'll notice there's a big difference in, you know, your experience and your results.
Absolutely. Well, we have people all the way tuning in from Scotland and around the world, but let's go right into the concept, the gap in the game. Mm-hmm. You believe that humans like to measure.
Mm-hmm. We're measuring creatures, you know, like, that's how we know things are getting bigger, things are getting better, things are getting bigger. And that is how we make our way in life. You know, I mean, you're in your baby crib and you can't even stand up and you know, 50 attempts later, you're up and you got your hands on the top and you measure and your mother walks in, you got a big smile on your face because you just proved to her that, you know, that you were better than the last time she saw you. And think of all baby learning, children learning, adolescent learning. We're always measuring against where we were, but somewhere along the line, we get deflected and we get confused about what to measure against. And we start measuring against other people, or we start measuring against ideals, and that really makes us unhappy, and we don't know why we're unhappy, and we kind of forgot how we learned how to measure in the first place. So what we do is we say, let's go back to the beginning on how you learned how to measure. It was where you were this morning, but what you can do tonight. And it you know, it seems simple, but a lot of people have developed very, very powerful tendencies to do measurement against things that don't really make them happy.
Give us an example. Like you work with some very high powered people, and you say that even though they're successful on the outside, they're unhappy a lot of times. What are they measuring? And what makes that happen?
Well, I think that there's two things that get us off track. One is we start measuring who we are against who other people are. And the unfortunate about that is that we're measuring our insides against their outsides. We don't know what their insides are. I mean, we don't know what's going on inside people. And, you know, and they look like they're cool. They look like they're accomplished. They look really confident, even though, you know, there's lots of instances that we find that people who are famous, who are celebrities, who are stars, who are award winners, actually, you know, are very, very unhappy with themselves. They don't feel the way they're that they are made to look, you know. And so the big thing is comparing against other people. But the other thing is comparing against an ideal and a made up ideal that you have of yourself. And I think this is probably the biggest cause, is that you've made up an imaginary person in the future. And we all do that. I mean, there is no avoiding that because we make up the future. I mean, we make up the with pictures and with images and that we've gathered. And we have to do that because it shines light on our goals, what we can actually achieve. And we do that. We have a similar thing that happens when we're young and we're getting rid of, getting used to space. Okay. You go outside and you notice there's this thing where the sky meets the ground, and you ask your mother, what's that line there? And she says, well, that's the horizon. And can we go there? And she says, no, you can't go to the horizon because it doesn't really exist. It's just something that your brain is doing to make sense of what you're looking at. The real thing is that you pick a point between here and the horizon, and we can go there and we can arrive. So the first time you do it, and you say, we haven't gotten any closer to the horizon. She said, no, you have to look backwards. You have to look backwards where we started. You'll see we've come a long way. Same thing with the ideal. We need that ideal. It's a very, very important part of our brain, but it's just so that we can actually see in time. So horizons about space, the ideal is around time. And we say, well, you know, I can make this progress. And you make the progress, you actually make the progress, you know, but then you measure against the ideal and it's like you haven't made any progress. So the thing is, I've got a line. So people are asking me to sign the book.
Right.
And previous books, I try to be original and come up with something different for each new person. But I nailed this one on the first try, and it says, all happiness is created by measuring your progress backwards.
Whoa, that is the book in a sentence.
I can put that on, you know, I can have the, you know, the people come in and chisel that on the wall. It isn't going to change. All happiness is created by measuring your progress backwards.
Folks, that is good. That's almost like, you know, when I go to your strategic coach office, your eyes only see in your brain, you know, that.
Yeah, no, that's one. That's, yeah, I have one on all our offices, our centers. And it says your eyes only see and your ears only hear what your brain is looking for. Okay, so you got to train your brain to look for certain things. Your eyes and ears will, you know, it's your brain. It's not what you're seeing and what you're hearing that's the issue. It's what your brain is looking for. So you've got to take responsibility. And this is an example. I mean, you've got to look for things where you can improve. And then once you make the achievement, turn around and measure backwards, and you'll be happy.
I love that. Folks, you're listening to Dan Sullivan, the co-founder of Strategic Coach. If you would like a copy of this book, number one, I'm going to say go to Amazon because it is literally well into the top 100 of all books. Dan just shared it was the top one nonfiction book in the world.
That's a brief moment in time, by the way.
But that's okay. I'll take it. We'll measure the gain.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do.
I mean, that's a big deal. And I'm sitting here and I'm happy as can be. I think this is the first time in my life that I've ever had the experience of a book that I was associated with being number one. It's a great thing.
Very huge. And here's what I'm going to challenge people to do. If you want a nice hardcover, this thing is a work of beauty. If you want this mailed to you, I want you to share the live stream, because whoever shares the live stream, I'm going to pick one winner and they're going to get a copy mailed to them, and we'll send it out. So after you share this live stream with your followers, tag people. We have husbands and wives that are tagging each other. Some people were at our conference and Lynn says this message is gold. I remember sitting next to her in the, we got Amber and Chad from Maui. You know Chad.
I sure do.
They're watching at 5 a.m. That's some good early morning.
I saw Chad yesterday. He was on Zoom yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Dan, let's share this. You have these amazing charts in the book, and I think there is one chart.
Well, there's just one chart, actually. If you go to Amazon, Hay House who's our publisher, and I want to just put a great shout out to Reed Tracy, because Reed's a dream publisher for the book. And the other shout out is Tucker Max. Tucker is our book strategist, Tucker is the target reader. So when we do a book, I always think of one person that the book is for.
That's good.
Tucker is a super high achiever, super talented. But I told him one day, I said, you just missed all the classes on being happy. And he's like, well, that's so true. That's so true. And I said, you're not. So this actually, you go right to Zoom and, you know, the whole thing. So here's your brain right in the center. And you have your brain can have the switch on one way, or your brain can have the switch on the another way, and we call the wrong way the gap. And if you look at the gap and the gain, they look very, very similar, but there's one difference. So you have the ideal. We have to have the ideal, because the ideal is like illumination, and it tells you an achievement that you can do, and that's a real achievement. You start, you make the achievement, but when you make the achievement, you measure back against the ideal. And there's no progress. It's, you know, I use the horizon, and it's just like the horizon. The horizon always moves, the ideal. You can never achieve your ideals, ever, in any area of your life. You cannot achieve your ideals. That's not what ideals are for. Goals are for achievement. Ideals are for lighting.
That's okay. Interesting. Some people would get frustrated with you. They would say, I want the ideal, but that's part of the problem is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, they can be unhappy with me. Okay, they can be happy with me.
That's right. Yeah.
That's not how the brain works. I'm just telling you. I mean, I've coached over 6,000 highly successful entrepreneurs, and a great number of them were role models for hundreds of other people. They were superstars.
There you go.
But they weren't. None of their success made them happy. And the reason is they were measuring the wrong way. And this is something you can learn in 30 seconds. I mean, the change will happen right away. And what you discover is that if you're measuring yourself the wrong way, you'll also measure other people the wrong way, and you'll treat them that they disappoint you, that they never, you know, you can never praise them because you have an ideal for them on what they should do. And they try really hard. But then when they do their achievement, you say, well, that's not really what I was thinking. You didn't quite get it, you know. No, and parents say this to children, you know. You know, we've got some famous stories of someone going through high school and getting 39 A's and one B. And for 30 years later at the dinner table, he and his father were alone. And his father says, what were you thinking? If you had just tried a little harder, you could have had 40 A's. He was holding this over his son 30 years later.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And then my client, who was the son, on the way home had to drive off and park and stop because he realized that he had a super talented daughter that he was treating exactly the same way. There was nothing she could do to measure up against his ideals for her. You know, instead of constantly reinforcing her progress, you know, this is where you started. This is where you are. Isn't that great? You know?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's weird. It's just a switch. It's just a switch. And it's not like you have to do this for 6 months before you get the result. The moment you do anything today, you're doing something, you're not feeling good about it. All you do is turn your head around and say, well, where did I start this? And you've made progress that makes you happy.
Wow, my mind is on fire, Dan. I got a lot of things to share about this. So one example is that if we don't figure this thing out, we are going to literally hurt our loved ones because we're going to project our own gap on other people.
You're making it impossible for them to live up to your I mean, you know, I don't have to live up to anyone else's ideals. I've got my own ideals and I use them just to give light to what I can achieve in the future. And every night before I go to bed, I say, what were my three wins for today? You know, where did I make progress today? And I go through and the rest of the day is just background. So every day at the end of the day, I've been winning. Okay. And then before I go to sleep, I look, I look at the next day and I said, what could be three wins for tomorrow? They may not be the wins that I actually count tomorrow night, but I go to bed knowing I'm going to have wins the next day. I get up in the morning. I know what the wins are. And then we'll see how the day goes. It may be that three other things are the wins, but I'm always thinking win, you know. And so what other people are doing and
it's irrelevant.
They've got their own game to play.
Wow.
At the end, I'm not responsible for their life, you know, but I am responsible for my own life.
So one person here says this is so good. Your talk was the most powerful one for Leslie of the entire conference. She's been thanking God for what she's accomplished this year. And she just ordered your Kindle book. So there you go. You didn't think you'd inspire a bunch of people praying and thanking God, but
first I do.
You do.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, I have my own relationship with God.
There you go.
And my God's a positive God, you know.
I like that. Yeah. That is so good.
Yeah. And people say, well, you know, I mean, you can't just do that to God. And I said, well, you do it to God. And I think, is your God a happy God or an unhappy God? Is your God, a constantly dissatisfied God or a satisfied God?
That's so good, man.
I
like that.
My God just thinks the world of me.
I think we share pretty similar beliefs right there, Dan. Wow. You got some great leaders here. Chad's just blowing up. Who knows? He's probably drinking some great food and stuff and eating in Maui. But he says, about projecting our hurts. I think, you know, Chad's a dad. I'm a dad. John's a dad here. That's really a wake-up call for us dads and moms who are hard on ourselves, you know, and the whole gap thing. Dan, you also talk about models. Tell that story about how models have this image and they're unhappy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you see this everywhere, the wrong way of measuring. So anyway, there, you know, and I'm kind of all over the map in terms of things that I'm interested in. And the internet's been a wonderful thing, you know, for me. And but every once in a while, I'll just see something that intrigues me. And it was a documentary on models, and, you know, in New York City, right? Yeah. In the, you know, really at the top of the fashion market. And, the, you know, these are people, individuals, young women who, you know, are, you know, featured, you know, in front of covers and in commercials and ads. And they just, you know, they just did a documentary on what's it like behind the scenes to be a model. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, we see the glamour after all the makeup and, you know, they have great cinematographers and, you know, and everything like that. So they make everybody looks really good. But what they did at a certain point is that they were down to the bare essentials as far as clothing. And they had them look in a mirror and say what they saw when they looked in the mirror. And there were six of them, and all six of them said, "All I see is fat." But these are, you know, these are, you know, these are amazingly slim, and they're, I mean, it's a tough life. I mean, it requires a lot of strength, so they have to be strong. You know, some of the sessions can go for hours, and it's. You know, and it's, you know, and everything else, but all they saw was fat, you know, but they don't see beauty. They don't see confidence. They don't see that. They see fat. And because if the people choosing them see even a little bit of fat, they get rejected. So, you know, the difference between them and a successful career may be couple ounces of fat. It may be a burger, you know, they can't a burger last night can ruin their next month, you know.
Gee.
And they asked them what they think about, you know, when you daydream, what do you think about? And one woman said, "Whoppers, fries, shakes." And he says, "What do you eat? Lettuce."
There you go.
Nobody daydreams about lettuce.
Yes. Yes, that is true. Do you think social media makes it worse? In other words, everybody's got their little gap trap.
It's the gap multiplier of gap multipliers. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the horrible impact, especially when you're young, you know, and I think, you know, I was a teenager. I was born in 1944. I'm 77. So I was a teenager in, you know, the 50s, you know, I'm 12 years old. You know, I became a teenager with the Mickey Mouse Club, you know, the original Mickey. Funny enough, I was in the Army, and through a fortunate set of circumstances, I ended up as an entertainment coordinator in South Korea. And one of the USO, they have an organization called USO. It's a private organization that puts together entertainment things and sends them over to American military, all around the world. And one of them was Doreen, the original, and Doreen Tracy, and she was hands down the most popular of the Mouseketeers, because she was a, you know, she wasn't introverted at all. She was very, very extroverted.
Right.
And so she came over. So she was 23. You know, she had become famous at 13, and she was 23. And I got to talk to her for about 2 or 3 days, you know, because we were going around from one base to the other. And she says, "You know, this is going to be my last entertainment trip of my life." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah." She said, "I realize now that I'm no more talented at 23 than I was at 13. I was at the top of my game when I was 13. And she said, "Look, I'm better. better than most people. And
wow.
And I'm better than most people in the audience, but my future isn't going to be any bigger. So I've got, this is my last trip, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to do something different. And then, you know, it was gone 3 days, and, you know, I didn't think about her. And I didn't think about her until I, you know, it was like when I was 70. I thought, gee, I wonder what happened. I was telling the story. I was telling the story. And so on the internet now, you can look it up. And I looked up, and she went back. She went into an apprentice program with Warner Brothers, became a talent manager, and spent the whole life managing other people's talent. She was very well respected. You know, Frank Zappa, very famous.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But she was his original talent manager when he made it big. And,
wow.
And then, at, you know, she retired at 65, and she started a jazz and blues club in Beverly Hills. And she died. She just died about 3 years ago. I think she died of cancer, you know. But I was so admiring of her, you know, kind of her measuring herself against herself.
Yes.
I mean, she was very grounded.
Like I just self-awareness.
I found her incredibly grounded, you know, and yeah, we just chatted, you know, and, you know,
she
had her life to live. I had my life to live. We were just comparing notes.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Let's give away a copy. Michelle from Montreal is going to pick our winner, and go ahead. Let me know. You can post the winner. He's managing it on our end. And Eleanor, give me a thumbs up if we're giving away any like Ambition Series books or anything like that. Are we doing any of that? Yeah, we are. Okay. So folks, your chance is now. Names in the hat. Anyone who's sharing this, we want to get this message out. Dan, what would happen as a society if we began to measure ourselves against the gain and not the gap? I'm talking education. I mean, all different sectors of society.
Well, you know, it's an individual decision. So, you know, I think society is kind of one of those ideals. In other words, this isn't any good unless it changes society. I said, I'm not into changing society, but each person I meet, I can say, hey, you know, I want to give you a little tip on how you ought to end your days. And this is how you should end your day. Yeah. Try it out. I said, I've tried it out on personally with 6,000 people, and it works. They're telling me it really makes a difference in the happiness of their, you know, their business career, makes it happy in their marriage, makes them happy in their family. Wow. Their children feel much more appreciated and loved, you know, by doing it. And all you have to do is just one thing that really happens with our clients. So we have about, you know, our client right now, we have about 2,500 worldwide business owners, and they have, you know, on average, they have about 20 to 25 team members. And on average, they have bigger than average families. The average is 3 children per family. And, you know, U.S. is below 2 as an average, you know. And so what a lot of them, it's funny, Chad and Amber are on for Maui. And, you know, and the big thing is have dinner together with your children, and everybody gives their win report for the day. You know, you go around and you say, what were your, you know, and kids say, oh, Dad, is this one of those corny things that you get from that program you go? But, you know, it feels good. And usually you can get them started with at least one thing a day, but pretty soon they'll do 3. And that just becomes the family tradition. And all of a sudden things start to pop. You notice, you know, they turn happy. The kids just become happy, you know, and they start focusing on their own goals, and they start focusing on their own progress, and they stop, you know, they stop comparing themselves with not only with other kids, they stop comparing themselves with impossible images of what kids are supposed to be.
Wow. Yeah. Now, don't you have an app? Is it called?
Yeah, it's called, it's a free app on the Apple Store. You just go on down. It's called WinStreak, and it can take you up to 30 days. So you can go, and then it's 30 days back. So you can get to the point where you've done it, you know, a little bit more than 4 weeks, and you can look back, and every day, three wins this, three wins that, and three wins about anything, you know, and you know, and everything like that. And you know, most people have a cell phone, and you can put it on your cell phone and do it. But there's this momentum of looking for what's going to be success, looking mm-hmm. for what's going to be progress. And your brain starts looking for it, you know, and your brain starts noticing all different areas of your life where, hey, I could really improve there. Then you improve and you say, gee, I could keep improving there.
Yes, yes. Well, listen, I was just buzzed with some great information. We'll share this on the screen. Basically, we're going to be giving away a bundle of Dan's three books, Your Attention, Your Property, the 25-Year Framework, and the 4 C's Formula, all for sharing and tagging someone who needs to start measuring according to the gain and not the gap. Dan, give us a quick summary of those three books, Your Attention, Your Property, 25 Framework, and 4 C's.
Yeah, the first one, Your Attention, Your Property, I've just been observing, you know, that big technological companies are capturing people's attention and selling their attention for money.
Yes.
And they resist that they're doing anything wrong by doing this. And I said, yeah, but, you know, all this unhappiness, they're selling your attention. First of all, it's your attention. It's your property. So we, you know, we're just in a new world with the mm-hmm. internet. I mean, I was born before television. I was, you know, I didn't see television until I was 9 years old. It hadn't mm-hmm. become widespread. So I grew up with radio. But, you know, radio, they wanted to capture your attention to certain, you know, certain newscasts or certain, you know, shows and, you know, and everything like that. And that was cool. You know, I love radio. I love radio. I still do. And, you know, and television, I've had my favorite television. But I noticed when we went to internet and then there's 500, well, it's an infinite number of things
yes.
to be interested in. And now they're really after your attention.
Mm.
And, you know, the social media, the model is based on they capture your attention and they sell it to advertisers.
Wow.
Okay. And they follow what you like. And then those advertisers direct things. And I said, and I just went through, it was going to be a test, but now it's a lifetime reality. I just stopped watching television altogether July of 2018. So I'm in my fourth year now. And it's been neat.
Whoa.
It's much nicer. I found a much nicer world without them coming at me. Latest news, breaking news, 24/7, and then competing with each other. And I said, you know, they don't get to use my attention. I'll decide what I want. And my sense is one way you regain your attention really fast is not comparing yourself to other people.
Yes.
Because that's what they're getting you to do on all the ads. They're showing unrealistic people. I mean, these people don't exist. They're actors, you know. And we find out oftentimes that happy, smiling actors are miserable people who are taking drugs and they're on their fourth marriage, you know. Mm. And so what you're seeing is not the truth. The person you're seeing is not reality. And it hurts to yes. have your attention be used in unreal ways and you get no return on it. It's like they're coming in and they're using the property from your house and they're selling property from your house. You know, your attention is your property.
Wow.
But then if you're going to gain control of your attention, don't be using your attention to measure yourself wrong. You know, use your attention to measure yourself properly.
Mm-hmm.
And every day you should use your attention to have a sense that you're getting stronger, you're getting more capable, you're getting more confident. And you just do that through this process of just measuring your wins at the end of the day. And, you know, this now One thing I could say about this is that I've been, you know, hard at this for 25 years. And people say, you must never go into the gap. And I said, well, 4 or 5 times a day. But oh, I always, you know, I'm in there for seconds. I'm in there and I can feel I'm doing something wrong. So yes. I train myself that when I'm in the gap, I notice I really tighten up. I start thinking, you know, I start getting really anxious. I start getting really, really worried. You know, I feel I'm being left behind. I feel I'm being left out. And then I just turn around and I say, well, where did I start this activity? And immediately I say, hey, I've made real progress and I totally relax. So I've taught myself to think that you're going to have a future where you don't go into the gap is an ideal. You're doing the very thing you shouldn't do.
That's smart. Wow.
So I accept that every day for the rest of my life, for a few seconds, for a minute, I'm going to be in the gap, but I'm going to know how to get myself out.
See, that is so refreshing. I think a lot of times we look at people.
No, there's people saying, you know, once I learn how to do this, I'm never going to do it. And if I even fail, then why did I do that?
I said, don't set up a game.
I mean, it's your game. Don't design a game that you can lose.
Wow, folks. That is amazing. Dan is cutting edge thinking. In his 70s. I want everyone to realize that.
77. I'm closer to 80, actually.
Closer to 80. Yeah. Yesterday, I was on a strategic coach workshop with incredible people from all over the world. And you're literally teaching us in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s and 80s. And this is new content.
Yeah. Well, people want to make, you know, life really complicated, but measurement, I mean, all humanity starts with measurement. We're the measurement species, you know, we outmeasure every other form of life.
Like Olympics, right? I mean, Olympics is a measuring.
How we create our cities, how we build, it's all measurement, you know, and we're pretty cool with measurements about, things outside of us. But we're not so cool about measuring our own day-to-day experiences. That's not taught. You know, wow. And oftentimes people are taught just the opposite. You know, you got to get an SAT score of this or you won't get into Harvard.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, if we invest in your education and you don't go to Harvard, then you might as well forget it for the rest of your life.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, one of the big tech giants, he had a daughter and he wrote a 4-page letter when she was born of who she had to be when she grew up, or he and her mother wouldn't be really happy with her if she didn't save the world.
Oh my God,
that's a really tough burden for somebody who doesn't even know how to crawl.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and we're never going to stop doing the bad thing, you know, sure. But I find that if people just get the diagram, you know, the diagrams right in the book, and you just look at the diagram, and Ben Hardy has just done a fantastic job,
yes,
of finding example after example in different parts of life about this, you know, and it's just a skill. And I haven't seen anyone who was committed to developing the skill who didn't get it on the first day.
Mm. So this literally takes 30 to 60 seconds to memorize, but
yeah, because all you're measuring is what's happening today. So when tonight, mm-hmm, before you go to bed, take about 15 minutes and say, what was real progress for today? Where did I make progress? Could be on a project. It could have been on a task. It could have been your personal life, your business life, your recreational life, your social life. But where did I? And just pick three of them and say, okay, those are the wins for today. And tomorrow we'll have some different. But I noticed that you develop a habit. You either develop the gap habit or the gain habit. And the gap habit, you feel like a failure. You're frustrated. You're disappointed. You have low self-esteem, guilt, depression. You know. Now, you can become addicted to things, so that doesn't hurt. But the addiction isn't really a solution. Or you can just develop a new skill and a new habit, and your life gets happier and happier.
So, Dan, Pete, can you struggle with the gap in different areas? For example, like some people, maybe it's money, or some people, the weight room, and then they're fine in other areas. Why is that? Is that possible?
You know, it even happens between identical twins who are genetically that one of them is born 4 minutes before the other and gets a little favored by the parent. And they said, you know, they always favored you. You're identical. I mean, you're a duplicate human being, you know, and everything like that. Humans are amazing at how they can find new ways to make themselves unhappy.
Oh, that's quotable.
But that's the same way that you can make yourself unhappy, if you just change the measurement in that activity, the same thing makes you happy.
Very good. All right, Michelle, why don't you pick and give to Elle, or vice versa? Pick somebody we're going to give that pack to.
Oh, I didn't complete all my
description. Yeah,
the second one is that I have two time periods in my life, okay? And that is, I have 90 days, okay? So four of them a year, and I have 25 years. So right now I'm 77, and I have goals and a future that takes me past 100, okay? And in 25 years, you get 100 quarters, okay? So that means is that I know, you know, I have really big goals for not so much for myself, but for the impact of the work that we're doing in Strategic Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, and I have a book on that. It's called The $15 Trillion Free Zone. Okay. And I said, when I'm 100 years old, you know, 2044, this is the impact of what our work is going to be in the world during that year of 2044. And I have that as a goal. And then I said, but right now I'm working on October, November, and December of 2021.
Wow.
And things that I think if we do them over the next quarter will continually grow for the next 25 years. There's this, there's that. I mean, like the book, this is one of my, you know, this book, getting this book out into the world. I mean, over the next 25 years, probably we'll have thousands of people who sign up for Strategic Coach just based on this, the interview we're having.
Yes.
And there's lots of humans. There's 8 billion of them. You know, we don't need 8 billion.
That's
right. People pass it on, and, you know, and they look into our other books, and they look at I have lots of podcasts. I have lots of things, and, you know, I meet, you know, the right people meet me, and I meet the right people.
Yes. So you always have 25 years in front of you.
Yeah, I always
have 90 days in front.
Yeah,
of you.
But I'm moving towards. I did this when I was 75 because I had just completed my third 25 year period of life, and I went back, and, you know, great life. You know, I had great. You know, I had great parents. I grew up really happy as a kid, I've had some setbacks. I've had 10 major surgeries because I break easy. You know, I've had a lot of, you know, I've had, you know, I've been, yeah, general anesthesia. I really love it. It's about as close as I'm going to come to time travel, you know, because they, you know, you go into anesthesia and you're here and it's this time, and it seems like a few seconds later you wake up and it's 5 hours later and you're somewhere. So I said, that's really neat. And I actually enjoy hospitals. There's a trick in hospitals. Be the happiest, most grateful patient, and you get incredible special service from the nurses and doctors. So whenever I'm in the hospital, I just listen to all the moaning and groaning and happiness, and I just treat everybody as sweetness. I'm just as, all you have to do is be thankful and grateful and cheerful in the hospital, and you just get the 5-star service. I mean, it works.
Interesting.
It's a grueling job. I mean, to be in a hospital, be a nurse, it's grueling, especially the last 2 years. It must
be.
So, yeah.
You got people.
Just make life fun for other people. You get. You get
they're all saying so true. So that's true. Right. Yeah.
So I've lived, you know, I've got a great life. I've got a great marriage. I had a practice marriage. I have to say that. And yeah, and I think each of us were doing the ideal thing on each other. I think she had an ideal of who I should be, and I think I had an ideal. And fortunately, we didn't do damage to each other. And I think each of us has gone our separate ways. Yeah, yeah, but my new marriage is just spectacular.
Awesome. So let's do this, Dan. Tell us about the four C's.
And the four C's is what I've noticed is that when you want to do something new and you haven't done it before, there's two ways of thinking about this. Okay. And one is that I'll do it when I feel more confident. Mm. Okay. And I said, well, you know, confidence doesn't happen before you accomplish something. Confidence actually happens after you do something. And they said, right. Not confident, but I'll do it when I feel more capable. And I said, okay, nice try, but it's the same story. That capable is how you feel after you've accomplished something, not before you accomplish. Well, you mean I can't get confidence and capability before I start? And I said, no. I mean, you just got to think about it. You know, you didn't have capability and confidence about talking before you could actually talk. Before you knew your ABCs, you didn't have capability and confidence before then. It was afterwards. So it has to be afterwards. And these are two C's, but nobody starts with those two C's. The two C's are what happens as a result. So where do we start? And I say, well, you have to be committed to actually taking action, even though you don't have capability and confidence. And then you mean I'm not even capable and confident and you want me to take it? Yeah. That's the way it works. And they said, well, how do I do that? Well, I said, well, that's the fourth C. That's courage. That's courage. Wow. You have to be courageous. Courageous means that you will be committed and you will go into action even though you don't have the capability and confidence. And I said, well, how long does that last? And I said, probably you get better at being courageous, you make it shorter.
So it all starts with courage.
No, it starts with commitment.
Commitment. You got to commit first. Yeah,
and there's a period. There's a period after you've made the commitment before capability starts kicking in. You know, you have to learn new things. You have to try them out. You have to fail. You have to thing. And gradually the capability forms. And then when the capability is really full blown, then you feel very confident. You feel very confident. Confidence is a reward. It's not a starting point. Okay.
Wow. And some people never move off the dime because they're waiting.
Oh, no. No. Look, I went to college with somebody, and I won't give you the details about the college, but I was 23 years old and had been through the Army. I'd been drafted during the Vietnam War, and I was 23 years old, and he had just turned 16. He was just one of these super bright. So here's two freshmen at this college. And he's 7 years younger than me. And we were best of friends, you know, best of friends. Really smart and everything like that. And great, you know, he was fun to talk with and everything like that. So the day I graduated, I immediately had a job as a copywriter in an ad agency, big agency. And so he graduated from college, and then he went to graduate school and he got a master's degree.
Okay.
And then he went to law school and got a law degree. And then he went into medicine and medical degree. And he was 34 years old before he ever left school. He had been in school since he was 4 years old. He had spent 30 years in school and he still hadn't gone out. And I said, when are you actually going to get out and do something? And he said, I'm not quite ready yet. I'm not quite ready. So his whole first half of his life was getting ready to get ready to get ready. But he never developed capability and confidence of actually going out and doing something, you know. And I think all this, you know, student debt, that's built up. 40% of student debt is people have actually graduated from college. And now they're going back for graduate school. And the graduate school keeps them away from actually finding out whether they're actually any good or any useful out in the world, because they think that somehow graduate school is going to give them capability and confidence. It doesn't. It doesn't. Only being out in the world and actually, you know, actually
failing, doing, making mistakes,
doing real stuff and being valuable to other people and showing that you're, you know, you're good to work with and that you can, you know, create new value in that. And people are afraid and afraid and afraid, because here again, it comes back to our topic today. They have an ideal of who they're going to be.
That's it.
But actually, employers don't hire ideals. They only hire hire people who have great attitudes and they have great skills. And you have to prove it. And
so good.
So I think this applies to all areas of life.
That's so good.
Yeah. So the four C's. And whenever I have someone who's young, who's just joined our company, I said, okay, they say, well, I'd like to be involved in this. And I said, here would be a real breakthrough for me if you did this. And they said, I don't know how to do this. And I said, but would you be committed to finding out how to do it? And they say, yes. And I said, it's going to require courage. It's going to require courage. So there's going to be a couple of weeks. I said, you know, confidence feels really good. Courage doesn't feel good. That's why we call it courage. You know, is that you're committing to action and achievement, even though you don't feel good. And I said, so you got it. But and in every case, when they stick it through, one day they say, oh, I totally understand how to do this. And I said, you got it for life now. And that, and your reward now is you're confident about that. Okay. Let's do something else scary.
I love it. So, and then it really becomes a capability to step into the fear.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Well, first of all, learning is learning. I mean, learning for everybody, whether you're six weeks old or whether you're, you know, you're 77 years old, learning. I still get scared. I mean, I'm taking on things this year I've never done before, but I'm committed to doing them. I got a deadline. It's in the
schedule,
and I have to pull it off. And here I am at 77, and I'm scared of something, and I'm going to have to go through a period, 2 months, 3 months, before the capability starts kicking in. And when I'm 100, I expect to be scared about my bigger projects then.
Wow, folks, this is inspiring. In fact, is it Lucretia says, I love Dan and I will be ordering his book. We have one question, Dan, before we roll. How do you look at the energy in the four C's? Stefan says this, how do you look at the energy? I don't know. What do you
mean? Well, I mean, the only energy that I can, you know, really talk about is the energy you feel when you go through the process. And being committed actually gives you instant energy. I mean, when you make the decision, I know I don't know everything I need to know. I know I'm not skilled yet, but I'm committed to go forward. That commitment gives you a lot of energy. And, you know, being courageous gives you, it's a different energy. And then you go into courage. And just knowing that you're doing something really brave gets you a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing the end of the day, three wins. You know, if you combine the four C's with the gap and the gain concept to do it. And then when the capability starts, then the energy goes through and then the confidence is energy. So I think if it's first time I've been asked the question, so I'm answering on the spot here. But my sense is that all four of the C's give a different energy. Mm-hmm. And then once you've done it before, you've done the complete cycle. And, you know, if you can teach your children this very, very early, it actually they can pretty well master anything. And you say, well, how do you get a let's say a 4 or 5 year old? How do you do it? And I says, well, they've learned all sorts of things. You know, they can probably ride a bike. You know, I know they know how to use a cell phone.
Yes.
You know, and what you say is, let's just go back and see what you did. Remember when you couldn't get on the bike? And they said, yeah. And how did you feel about that? Oh, I so wanted to get the bike. And you just get them to tell the history. And you were really committed. Remember this period when you say, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I don't care how many times I fall down. I don't care anything. I'm going to do what it takes to get. See, that's commitment and courage. You were committed to doing it. And then you didn't care what you looked like. You didn't care if you fell down and you had sore arms and legs. You felt good. And then remember the first day you could drive all the way to the end of the driveway and back, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That was amazing. And I said, and then what'd you want to do next? What'd you want to do next after you knew you could handle? Well, I wanted to go down to the playground, you know, go and everything else. And see, that's confidence. Okay. So you've already done this. Now, what you did back then, what's really scary right now? So we're going to play on the first stage. What are you going to be committed to?
It's, oh man.
Now, are you willing to be, it's going to be scary for a while? Because you can't find out how to do this unless it's scary for a while. And then you say, okay, then just imagine what it's like to be capable. Oh boy, that's going to feel so good. You know, it repeats itself. Well, if they learn that at 5 or 6, there's nothing at 50 that's going to be a problem for them.
I love it, folks. Whether you're a grandparent, a parent, a young person,
or a human. Or your own human being.
That's right.
This is what humans do.
Regardless of age, we all measure, even the little dashes when you get taller against the doorway or whatever. So learn this, get this book. Right now it's on Kindle for 99 cents. It's the number one nonfiction book. It's blowing up all kinds of categories.
And I would say something. It's a wonderful read. Ben Hardy is just an amazing writer. It was one of my real goals in life that I would find a partnership with a writer that as good as Ben. And we're going to do 10 books in 10 years. So we've already started the next book, and it's scary. We're committed to another book. It's feeling scary right now. We haven't cracked the code on it and everything. But if you like the book, get the Audible version.
Yes.
Get
the Audible. There's bonus content, right?
As well. Get the Audible. The Audible is, we were doing it, and the sound engineer said that he was tearing up. He said he was so moved by the audio. And so a lot of people have listened to the audio. And the audio is, you know, I guess all together, because Ben actually reads the words of the book. And then after each chapter, he interviews me on my experience. And, I give examples. So it's a 3-hour, I think it's about 3 hours when you put the whole thing together.
Of bonus content.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. He's so good. And he's a doctor of psychology, and he's got scientific, support for everything and everything like that. And it's been a dream, kind of a dream collaboration for me.
I love it. Well, folks, The Gap in the Game, we'll be mailing out a copy to the winner, Carrie Arend, and a bunch of you are getting.
Where's Carrie? I always want to know where people.
I believe she is from North Carolina.
Oh,
yeah, North Carolina.
One of my clients is running for senator in North Carolina. One of my strategic coach clients, Ted Budd.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Oh yeah, here she is. See, I knew it. Raleigh, North Carolina. So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, this was an absolute blast. It's always fun partnering with you when you put something out, and I've benefited from your investment in me in Strategic Coach, and I just want to say thank you.
That's a great pleasure. Great all pleasure. Right. Thank you, Carrie, for all of our partnership.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com.